Welcome to church. For those of you visiting online, good to have you a part of our worship and gathering today. We're talking about Under the Hood. We're in a series on 1 Corinthians where Paul's taking a look at the church, diving a little bit under the hood, seeing what's going well, what's not going well, and opening that up into how we live as Christians today. Before we dive into that, I want to say a personal thank you to all who were able to participate in that love offering for Burundi, Africa. Over $3,500 was raised the last couple weeks, and we'll be getting that to Pastor Eric and Grace Church in Burundi to help with just a tremendous flooding and displacement of people in that culture. But thank you, and thank you for your gifts and your blessings. Aris alluded to and is sharing with us this move of the Spirit. We sang in that last song about we want the Holy Spirit to fall fresh on us. So how does all that work, and how does it come together, and what does it mean for us as Christians to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to have the Holy Spirit guiding us? There's one thing to say, hey, come fall fresh on me, but it's more than just a feeling of the hairs growing up on the back of your neck, or I feel the Spirit moving in my life. The Spirit always comes and moves. The Spirit shifts the way we think, the way we act, the decisions we make. There's literally a movement that happens in the Spirit. And that's what we want to think about as we dive in here today. Last week, we opened up in this second chapter of 1 Corinthians, and Paul began to open up. He said, I didn't come to you with eloquent speech, but I came to you with demonstrations of the power of the Spirit. Very important that he began to open up. He said, you know, when it comes to the conversion of other people, it's not a matter of the knowledge or wisdom that you have to try to convince them to know Jesus. It is a demonstration of the power of the Spirit that's moved in your life, that is demonstrated to their life, by which they say, I want Jesus in my life. And conversions happen. And that's what was happening in this early church in Corinth. This city that we already know that we talked about, to be Corinthian was to be immoral. To be a Corinthian was to be a populous city of business and opportunity. But here they were, lives were changing, and they were leaving cultural norms and beginning to follow Jesus. Incredible things happening. Now, not to misunderstand Paul was not saying that one should not have knowledge and wisdom. Well, Paul was saying that when the power of the Spirit moves on us, then it changes our life, it transforms us, and that is seen in the people around us. Maybe it's we're life-giving, or maybe it's the aspect by which we begin to move in faith and what that looks like. But today I want to take a little bit further, because we dive in to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, Paul begins to speak about maturity, not just conversion. He begins to speak about what does the life of a Christian look like, and how does the conversion of the Holy Spirit in the midst of our culture begin to change lives? And these are really critical questions that we want to think about. My prayer for you today is that by the time you leave today, you have a better understanding of the work of the Spirit and the Spirit's power, that you have a better understanding of when am I acting cultural and when am I acting in faith. And how do we access the power of the Spirit in our lives so we can balance the cultural norms and the spiritual moves? Fair enough? At a council meeting in April, if you're not familiar with our congregational council for this church is a governing body. It's mature Christians who gather around the table, raised up and lifted up by this congregation to give guidance and spiritual formation and direction for what God is calling this church to be about. They sit around the table in prayer and thought with me and with other leaders to think about what God is calling us to do and seek to make appropriate decisions on the direction of our church. Peter Cruzon, who's on our congregational council, we were in conversation this week and about today a little bit, because as I was diving in his text, I said, you know, it really hits into a devotion that he brought to our congregational council. And I found it really a critical point of conversation, because what, in my words, what Peter was bringing to our council was to ask the question, since we're all affected by our culture, it doesn't matter what culture you grow up in, the cultural norms have an effect on how you understand and walk with Jesus. they begin to infiltrate the way you perceive the work of God and even begin to be a guidance by which you move with God or don't move with God. One thing Peter was talking about, in our American culture, we tend to function and operate in a very rational thought kind of way. So do we move forward when all the checks, boxes are good? If we're discerning how we move as a church, as a board or a council, do we make those discernments based on the ability to say, well, everything's lining up the right way? The offerings and resources and financial resources seem to be right. We can look around the room and say those patterns are falling in place. So therefore, since we can logically and rationally think about this direction is lining up, then we can form a strategy forward to accomplish it. But what does that have to do with faith? As he shared with us, you know, in the Bible it says, without faith, we cannot please God. It doesn't say without rational thought, we can't please God. Because faith is a leap by which we move past what we can think or control, or actually what pleases our flesh in our situation. Man, it's very easy in our culture to wrestle with, is this a move of God or is it a move of process? When literally what we're saying is nothing really kingdom movement happens out of our rational thought. It happens because we're living in faith. But how do the two go together? It's a very important question to ask because it's a part of what affects all of us when it comes to spiritual maturity. How do we balance what goes well in the world, what we can control, what we can't control, how we put down on paper what's working or not working, and another critical difference, what everybody else is judging? Can we sit around in the room and make decisions about faith when everybody else is looking at us? Was that rational and right and appropriate based on what things look like on paper? Those are very difficult conversations. And they happen every day in your home and in your decisions, among your children, in your workplaces all the time. Because we can't separate ourselves from the cultural norms of how we're judged and rated in our society. So what's the Holy Spirit have to do with all of that? When Paul begins to dive in with these early Christians in Corinth, and he begins to speak in his second chapter of 1 Corinthians, he begins to open up that aspect of maturity of wisdom. And I want us to kind of walk through that and begin to separate that out a little bit. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and open up 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 6. I'm going to read that whole section because it kind of hangs together. And then I kind of want to break it apart and take a look at what God's doing here, what Paul's saying, and how do we get our arms around that for our own spiritual maturity. In 1 Corinthians 2, 6, he says this, "Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom." Remember, he's coming off. It's a demonstration of the Spirit bring forth comments, conversions. But among the mature, there needs to be a growth in wisdom. Among the mature, we do impart wisdom. Although it's not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. In essence, saying that what we're going to get as we grow as Christians is a maturity that's going to come not from the age that we live in essence, the cultural knowledge and wisdom, but it's going to be a knowledge and wisdom that comes from God. What comes into culture is going to pass away. It might work now, it won't work forever. He says, "But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom," more on that later, "which God decreed before the ages for our glory." So God has been doing something and showed and revealed himself in a way that was for our glory. Once it was hidden, now it is in clear sight. It says, "None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ, crucified on the cross," which he talks about in the last five verses. "But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him." If you haven't read anything in 1 Corinthians, that's probably a passage you've heard someone quote to you. Paul combines a number of Old Testament texts that come out with this statement that we can't begin to imagine. It just goes to show Jesus Christ crucified, that we can't begin to imagine what God has planned for us. So we can either live in what we know and understand, or we can begin to live in what the Spirit wants to reveal to our lives. So literally what he's saying is, there's more to your life than your rational thought or your cultural understanding. That God already in his mind has planned for you far more, as Reese said, if we stay in his presence, than what you think your life or my life or the culture is about. So he goes on to say in verse 10, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. Hear that? The things of God are revealed by what? The Holy Spirit. So that is the key for how we want to begin to grow. This, when we're praying about the Holy Spirit, this isn't just fake stuff. This isn't just, okay, I want a good feeling. The Holy Spirit is God, and God is real, and God's wanting to visit and be in their presence. It says, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person? So he gets a little bit rational here. Who can understand a person's thought except the spirit that's within that person? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So we can't begin to understand and know the thoughts of one another because we're not in their heart and mind. Their own spirit is in there. We can't also understand the mind of God or what God's desiring for us without God revealing it, because it is the Spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit whom is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. So what is he saying? He's saying all these things that is in the heart and mind of God is being revealed to you and to me through his Spirit. It is available for everyone. It is not hidden and it is not secret, but we receive it through the power of the Spirit, and we cannot receive it unless we have the power of the Spirit. Really critical for maturing Christians. In verse 13, and we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Now hear this, church. Unless we desire the move of the Spirit in our lives, we cannot hear from God. We are limited to just one side of the equation, and that's our worldview, that's our cultural norms, that's our understanding of rational thought or whatever we want to do to figure something out. It is only through the Spirit that we can leap to another dimension by which God can take all of this stuff that we know and we analyze and begin to speak in to have us do something that's not just cultural but has a kingdom agenda. In verse 14, it says, the natural person or the unspiritual person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly, they're foolish. They don't make sense to him or her, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but in himself is judged by no one, which means that what God is saying to you can't be judged by cultural norms because God is saying it to you. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Wow. There's a lot in that passage. What I hope you hear in that passage is the critical nature of the work of the Holy Spirit. And to deeply say, I can't move forward in my spiritual maturity without the key ingredient of the Spirit of God. I can't keep sitting back, having my operational principle, and I think it was one of the core of Peter's conversation with us as a leadership team, if we're just trusting all of our human logic and understanding, that the leaping point, if we're going to go in faith, is to trust that the Spirit now takes this conglomeration of what we know which we can control, and take us to a place of faith that leads us to the place of prayer that we all want to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done in me, in this world, so therefore give me what I need to do it, and what Paul is saying he is, and it is the Holy Spirit. So if you're sitting here today, you go, whoa, I want to grow in Christ. If I'm feeling as if I'm not hearing from God, that's a spiritual issue. And the only question comes, I want to change that nature. I want to change that culture. I must be so locked in to the ways of the world that I'm not hearing, I'm not discerning what seems to be hidden to me. Maybe simply we can think of it like this. How many people out there drive a blue car? Raise your hand. Anybody? One, two, three, four. Okay. Do you ever notice any other blue cars when you drive? Yeah, you do, don't you? Now, what color car did you have before a blue one? A what? A gold car. Did you ever notice blue cars when you're driving a gold car? Nope. Isn't that interesting? We kind of function like that, right? It's like they're out there, but they're invisible. It's not that they're not there. I just don't see them because they're not in my purview. It's not something that I'm sensitive to. It hasn't been a part of my life. Such is true with the way the Holy Spirit moves. See, Paul's telling these other Christians is that God had in his mind from the beginning of time how he was going to save the world. And in his right time, no one else's, in his right time, in his wisdom and in his knowledge, he sent forth his son Jesus Christ, who would live, teach us the ways of God, die on a cross to pay the price of our sin. Who could imagine? It seems ludicrous. No logical fact of any culture would ever say, I would do it that way. And he does it. He rises from the dead, and we get to see as Christians that if that happens to Jesus, so too will it happen to us as we believe. That this life is not all there is. But yet, how many people are blind to that reality? Well, Paul is saying that's no longer hidden. It was when it was only in the concept mind of God, but now it's revealed to the whole world, but people didn't even catch it. That's why they crucified the Lord of glory. They couldn't see what God was wanting to do. It's the same truth that happens in our world today because it's not in the purview. It's not something I get. But Paul says it can only be spiritually discerned. The natural person, it makes no sense. So a couple things that we want to grab hold of. One more quickly. What was happening under the hood was these Corinthian Christians were beginning to look at, experience their culture and say, surely it can't just be about Jesus. So we want to add some of our cultural rational understanding. And these other teachers are telling us that that's a good thing to do. And Paul shows back up and he goes, whoa, wait a minute. When did the gospel get complicated? But that happens in every culture all over the world. When Christianity filters in, the first thing we have to figure out is how does our culture fit with it or not. And sometimes we just want to mix culture and Jesus and say, it's good. When it's not. So Paul is under the hood bringing a correction. It's Jesus plus nothing. That's the gospel. There is no American religion that says there's something else you need to do. There is no theology of glory. If you just live the right way, God's blessings will be on you. It doesn't exist. is Jesus plus nothing. Because this was in the mind of God. And it doesn't need to be added to. It was perfect the way he gave it. But there's something else. In the same way that no one can know what's in your heart, except your own spirit, you can't know what's in the mind of God unless God gives it to you through the Spirit. Because no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can perceive what God has planned for those who love him. Don't you want a piece of that? I think that was the core of some of the question Peter was asking us as a leadership board at the church. He's saying we can put all the rational thought, but unless we step by faith, we don't see the demonstration of the Spirit. We can't live to the glory of God. We can't even please him in the kingdom agenda. We can do church in the same way that you can be Christian and do life, but never receive a demonstration of the Spirit because the Spirit is not working in you. We don't see it. We're not aware of it. Listen, church, you want the Holy Spirit. Paul is writing them and says, you want to long for this. The Spirit of God is moving. The Spirit of God is working. But in the same way that Jesus Christ crucified makes no logical sense, when you begin to hear the voice of the Spirit in your life, to your cultural norm, it will make no logical sense. And that's where it's a leap of faith. That I trust that no eye has seen and no ears heard and no heart can perceive what God has planned. And I want to make that step away from what I can logically understand, do, predict, and control. Now, it's not saying that God does not use all of our giftedness to survive in this life. God uses the person he made me to have some business sense, to be entrepreneurial, to love to study trends and what's happening and what's going on in the world, to try to use some rationality to say, I think if this, then this. God uses all of that, but at some point it comes to an end. And I can tell you in 30 years of doing this, 35 years of doing this, it always comes to an end, to a place by which there's a leap of faith. Because it can either stay in human capacity or it can go to a kingdom agenda, which is what God wants to do. And every one of us to mature in Christ will always have to come to that crossroad. We all have to come to a place by which I want to hear from the Spirit of God. If we're sitting around with families that are just struggling, they're doing all the things culturally that the world says to do, and the world says, hey, you got it right, that'll work, and all the finances are in this way and that way, and it's just not happening. And we say, you know, why are relationships not all that good? Why are kids kind of thinking this way? Why are the identities kind of going cultural rather than understanding who they are in Christ? Why all this movement happening? We say, you know, if you spend some time getting on your knees as a family every night and you pray over each other and you speak into each other as perfect in Jesus Christ, but that makes no sense. How is that going to work? I mean, it's going to work better if I just let them do the things that they're excited about doing to excel in their sports or excel in this or excel in that, and we spend money on this or that, and or we say, you know, if you as a family will become family on mission rather than family on activity. And you become subordinate in obedience and submission under God first, then watch how it all comes together. And boy, have we heard those testimonies. It makes no sense. There's not time to do it. Add more to my plate and do all of that? You see, there's the leap. No eye has seen, no heart can perceive, no ear can hear what God has planned. And of course we can't, because we're too much in the cultural plan. And it keeps us into spiritual immaturity rather than spiritual maturity, which means I'm filled with the Spirit. So what does that look like then? As Peter would say, this is not easy. If it was easy, everybody could do it, an old coach told me. It's not easy. We're captured by our culture. It has to be then intentional. And that's why Paul's writing to them, is when something's not easy, you have to have an intentionality about it. You got to be thinking about it. You got to be pursuing it. I know for Marilyn and me, it looks a lot like every thought, every action, every decision held captive by the thought of Jesus. That we can line up the good stuff and the bad stuff. We can make the list. We can have all the rational thought. We can put the budget together. But we must consult with the Holy Spirit. We must ask, is this what you want us to do? I know one of the challenges with our kids growing up, it was always a process of how do we keep the checkbook open? You know, anybody got kids that want everything? Anybody got adults that want everything? And it was always the question, but mom and dad, y'all got the money? You're both working. That's not the point. The point is, we're listening to the Spirit. And our kingdom agenda comes first. And everything else falls its way. And they've learned that. And I'm not saying it's easy. It even comes to going to the grocery store. Lord Jesus, what do you want me to buy at the grocery store today? Anybody ever tempted at a grocery store? If I go when I'm hungry, I'll buy stuff I shouldn't be eating. And you got to pray, God, even God cares about every dimension of your life. Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to spend? How do you want me to live? How do you want this body to glorify you? See, spiritual maturity is where we want to be. The reality is this flesh is dying. I wish I could still do what I used to do at 30, but I can't. It hurts. You see, from the moment we're born, this casing of our spirit is decaying. And it's getting older and older, and one day it will be buried. But from the time that we're a child, our spirit is getting younger because it's getting more and more like Jesus. It's getting more and more beautiful as our bodies are becoming more and more ugly. Because we're growing more and more in the mind of Christ. And the time that we go and live with Jesus in heaven forever, we have met him in a place by which this is ready to go and this is ready to be. Hear me, church? That's spiritual maturity. And we want to pay attention to it every single day and every single decision, whether we're sitting in the boardrooms or the kitchen tables. We're longing for the Spirit to speak and to notice there's more than what I think and see in my culture. And it's Him that I want to follow. And like we talked about last week, it only comes when I'm obedient, which is a sign of weakness, really. When I'm obedient to someone, it means I'm subservient. But that's good. We want to be subservient and obedient to the one who loves us and has plans for us greater than we can ever think or imagine. It happens in our weakness when we finally give up and we say, no rational thought fits here and accomplishes your kingdom work. So therefore, I am weak. Be strong. I'm going to follow you. So how do we do it? I share with you in your outline today a few thoughts. This is where the wrestling has been for me through the week to share with you. The first one I put down here is, we must long for God's Spirit to indwell in us. That may sound petty, but let me tell you, we don't pursue anything we don't desire. And sitting here today, unless you really desire what you're seeing on the screen and experiencing in the worship, unless you desire for the Spirit to be, unless you say, God, I want you to be present in every decision, we just won't hear. Unless I drive out today and say, on my way home, I'm going to make sure and to be aware of every red car. I will not be aware of every red car. The same is true with the power of the Spirit. But God has so much for us. Look at John chapter 14 and verse 25. It says, these things I have spoken to you, this is Jesus speaking, these things I have spoken to you while I am with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will give in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said. Isn't that incredible? We want the Holy Spirit. He will teach us all things. This wisdom that comes from above, because this stuff that we learn to get by in this world is going away. Valuable, a part of where we live, but there's something more valuable and more kingdom agenda. In John 16, it says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. It's kind of like teaching somebody and try to give them the whole fire hose at one time. God cannot cram everything he wants you to know about your life and where your life is going and how you're to serve him when you're 2 years old. Spiritual maturity is his speaking to you all along the way, constantly giving you spiritual wisdom as you're engaging him in every dimension of your life. You're growing. It's not meant to stuff it all in. It's meant to have a relationship. And when you have a relationship, you're listening to one another. You're listening to God. You're listening to Spirit. You're studying in the Word because God wants to give it to you. He says, I will guide you into all truth. The Spirit doesn't speak on his own authority in the same way we shouldn't speak on our authority. We speak what the Spirit wants us to have. And when the Spirit comes in, we will glorify God in our lives. Second one is this. We submit to God's long-term wisdom, not our newfound knowledge. That's a shift of thinking. And I think it comes to the crux of the position that Peter was challenging us and in the devotion, all of us being challenged, that something has to be subservient. And it is my culture. It is my person. Must come under the wisdom and knowledge of God. No matter what I lay out on paper that looks right to my rational mind and approved by everybody in culture that thinks that way. Until I step out in faith and say, Jesus, is this right? Is this accomplishing your kingdom agenda? And Jesus says, I want you to do this. And we all are going, how are we going to do that? What are people going to think? That is movement. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 when he's teaching Timothy to lead the church. He says, old Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted in you. Avoid the irreverent babble and the contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Hear that? Ooh. Listen, when God is wrestling with me and I'm having to listen to the Spirit, there's a lot of babble that wants my attention to stay logical when God is trying to stretch me or you or your family or your kids to be a kingdom agenda. He warns Timothy, watch out. 2 Timothy 1:13, he says, follow the pattern of the sound words that you've heard from me in the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. But the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, may it guard the good deposit. Guard. The Holy Spirit guarding that so the culture doesn't steal it away. Third is this. Pass on the simple truths that you learn. You know who gains the most from this message today? Arisa's saying, hey, his message today, he was touched by the message. I'm the one that gains the most. Because I'm the one that has wrestled with this word, has been in this word for months, have invested hours and time and thought about it and worked it through and considered all the decision I made. Am I back? See, you're just getting it for the first time. As you share it with others and you wrestle with that culture and faith, God will grow you. Don't keep this to yourself. Watch for the Spirit. The hidden secrets are wide open for you to have. Share them with others. The last one is this. Treasure the community of Spirit-led people around you. We're not an island. And because, as Peter wrestled with us in our council meeting, we are so cultural. We're bound by so many thought ways of decisions that sometimes we can't even make a good decision without the help of one another. But I can tell you, I can promise you some things about the Holy Spirit. One is, the Holy Spirit will always be unified with the Scripture and with God. And the Holy Spirit will always be unified with itself. Which means as you gather around you other spiritually mature people to help you in the decisions of life, and you're thinking together and you seek their wisdom, hearing from God, they will direct you in unity. If you've got six people, five might be aligned, one may not. But see, spiritual maturity is at all kind of levels. And that's okay, because we will never all be the same place. God is working on each of us in His own way for our glory. But there will be a unity that will come to fulfillment that will show you what God wants you to do. Good. Spiritual maturity, Paul says to the church. Jesus has this. And what He has for you and for me and for the world is not hidden. It's just spiritually discerned. Listen carefully. Be with Him in His presence. Study with one another in the Scriptures. Surround yourself with those who are listening. And watch how the steps of faith will reveal demonstrations of the Spirit that then become pleasing to God. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, here we are as Your church. We don't always get it right. And we're doing the very best that we can. But You reveal to us in this passage that You do want to speak to us. And You don't want us to settle for less but with more. But it means in our weakness and in our obedience, we get more in tune with what it is You want to say. So, Father, I pray over this church that we would long for the Holy Spirit to move. And You would speak into our families and our lives and our decisions and our movement as a church as we seek to do mission in this community and throughout the world. We belong to You. And You already thought about this day long before we ever showed up. And today You reveal. Thank You for Your great love. Thank You for Jesus Christ crucified, for the forgiveness of our sins, for the opportunity we have to live with You forever. We love You in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. If God is speaking to your heart, or you might be in a place where He says, I never asked the Lord in my life. I don't follow Him, and you want to follow Him. There's going to be some prayer partners over here. Take that seriously. They're here with you and for you. Just be in conversation with them. If you'd like Holy Communion, our leaders this morning will be serving that after the worship as well. You can gather and they'll share that gift that the Lord provides for you. Invite a friend. Share your faith story. Allow others to see the demonstration of the Spirit. If there's none in you, seek the Holy Spirit to move. We'll see you next week. Be awesome. God's grace.